The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to the crowd, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and then I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to God, now and always. Amen. Please sit down. So what to make of the gospel reading for today? Surely it's sensible to plan for the future. We live in a society that is able to give help to the poor because the rich among us pay our taxes, allowing the government to use some of it to support those in need. Of course, many say the support is not enough, but the fact remains there would be no help at all if all of us used our money just for ourselves, like the man in the story. We cannot become dependent on the charity of others if there are no others. So what are we to learn from this story? One of the commentaries I looked at had these words: "It's worth remembering that no amount of wealth can keep our relationships healthy and our families from falling apart. No amount of wealth can protect us from genetically inherited diseases or from tragic accidents. People at the end of their lives do not tend to say, 'I wish I hadn't given so much away. I wish I had kept more for myself.'" The clue is in verse 15. "Be on your guard against greed of every kind, for when someone has more than enough, his possessions do not give him life." Each one of us has to make a decision. What is enough for us? Much depends on your starting point. What was life like when you were growing up? How many people brought money into the house? How many people had to be housed, fed, and clothed? Perhaps as important, what were the expectations of the community among whom you lived? Was there one family per home? Did most people rent or own their home? Did most people around you own a car, a computer, an inside toilet? More than one toilet? Your answers will depend on your age and where you lived as a child. Is there a difference between what was enough then and what is enough now? Now, all these questions suggest I should stop now and give you time to answer them. But I know not everyone likes an interactive sermon, and we... All right. And we did have to come up with written answers last week, so I'll leave the questions with you. It's quite salutary to compare what we consider enough now to what we considered enough when we were growing up. I expect the older ones among us will have seen big changes in our standard of living. For most of us, it will be an improvement. While the younger ones may, in the light of the political upheavals in the world, have to lower their ideas of what is enough. The writer of the reading we heard first from Colossians was very clear that enough has very little to do with this life, because there is so much more to come. We should fix our thoughts on the higher realm, not on this earthly life. He then helpfully gives us a list of how we should do that, or rather, the things we shouldn't do. But it does end on a positive note. Christ is all and is in all. It's ironic that I was asked to preach today when the gospel reading is about what we call the rich fool, who worked hard to give himself security, with the accent very much on what he intended to do with the money, certainly not on what he could give away. Ironic, because my name is on the envelopes into which we were asking you to put your pledge forms to help pay for the extension to the church. I've never encouraged people to raise money for a building before, but have concentrated on raising money for people, particularly children, because they have no say in the circumstances of their birth. It may be a refugee camp or a hospital. They may be born much wanted children, or adding to despair and desperation, or to parents lost in a world of drink and drugs. So I've always concentrated my fundraising attention, the working for it, on children. But I have been driven to act, to ask people to join me in beginning the fundraising, because I believe the lack of facilities here are holding up the work of God in this place. I'm embarrassed to ask clergy and choir to robe in a damp, cluttered vestry. Embarrassed when visitors arrive and we have to direct them to a toilet I wouldn't have in my own home. On Wednesday morning, our congregation is growing as we worship together and then enjoy each other's company over refreshments. But we have to sit in rows along pews, balancing our cups on our knees. Those cups have to be washed up in a kitchen with only room for one person, and nowhere to put the wet tea towels or dried cups, which have to be stored on the floor. If someone comes here unable to walk, we have no toilet to offer them. They have too many steps to cope with. We often miss reports and posters because we can't get to the back of the church to see them. Visitors miss the C.S. Lewis goods, which they could purchase as a reminder of their visit, because they're hidden away in a corner, and you have to negotiate the font to reach them. How lovely when the font is in front of the bell ropes and the baptism takes place facing the altar. Thank God that when I ask for help at a PCC meeting to start the fundraising, 4 people said yes. Thank God that Laura and our treasurer Richard have supported our efforts. A lot of prayer has gone into this. A lot of prayer has gone into this sermon. I didn't mean to talk about this today, but I was led into it by the gospel reading. And because I firmly believe with the writer of Colossians, Christ is all and is in all.